And now it's time for Rod and Reel Radio with your hosts, Hop Along John Cassidy, fresh and saltwater expert angler Stan Vanderberg, and all-around outdoors, fishing, and hunting enthusiast Wendy Toshihara. If you love the outdoors, enjoy salt or freshwater fishing, this is the show for you. We'll cover most all of the fishing tournaments and events with special reports while providing you with the information you need as to how and where to experience the best fishing opportunities in Southern California, Baja, Alaska, or just about anywhere the fish are biting. Rod and Reel Radio brought to you by El Cajon Ford at Broadway and Main or online at elcajonford.com. Whether it's time for a new or used car or truck, or you need to take advantage of San Diego's best quick lane for service with genuine Ford parts, brand name tires at competitive prices, remember, nobody beats El Cajon Ford. We have some fantastic guests and reports lined up for you this evening, so sit back, relax, and get ready for the fastest 2 hours in radio. It's all right here, right now, on Rod and Reel Radio, the best stop on your radio dial for all the information you need for fishing opportunities all over the United States. Now here's your host, Hop Along, John Cassidy.
Hey, Mark Larson, thank you very much. And Southern California, welcome to Rod and Reel Radio. I am indeed your underfished host, Hop Along John Cassidy, and it is a pleasure to welcome you all to the show tonight. I know, even though it's the first weekend of autumn, there's a lot of things happening out there. Football, you've got Chef Fest, you got Restaurant Week, all kinds of get-togethers. So I can't tell you how much we appreciate you tuning in to Rod and Reel Radio. I think we're going to make it worth your while tonight. We got a great show lined up for you tonight. Later on in the show, Chad Gerlich from Hookup Baits is going to be with us. He's going to be talking a little bit about the evolution of his lures and the introduction of the first annual Hookup Bait Tournament coming up Sunday, October the 6th. And then later on, you know, we talk about going up to Alaska, bringing back some beautiful salmon. But not that far away from home here, we've got great salmon fishing too. And we're going to find out all about it with Captain Jared Davis from Salty Later Sports Fishing out of Sausalito, California. Captain Jared will be with us later on tonight. And then we can't bypass the great local bite we have off our San Diego water here. Later on in the show, Captain Chuck Taft will be with us, and he's going to tell us about what's happening off our local waters here, the great bite we have, what's in store for us for the rest of October and going into the rest of the year. So it's a great show. Hey, Stan and Wendy are off tonight, but I've got a great in-studio guest with us, been a friend of ours for a long time. We're going to talk a little bit about lobsters, sustainable seafood, and a number of other things that are of concern to you. Mr. Tommy Gomes. Tommy, welcome to the show.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's nice to be back. Thanks.
Oh, it's always great seeing you here in studio, Tom.
Good times.
Hey, you know, one of the things I wanted to talk about, Tom, just to start off, we've got lobster season upon us. And normally we're talking about recreational lobster hooping, the guys going out and doing it, what it's going to be like. But, you know, a lot of us don't have a chance to do that. We've actually have to go to the store or the restaurant to enjoy our local Southern California lobster. Do you have any type of prediction or what you've seen from the uni divers or anything on what the availability of lobster is going to be this season with the warm waters and all the other things that we have happening right now?
You know, there's no doubt that we're in a transition. And if you remember, you know, we haven't had a warm water blob like this in a long, long time. And unfortunately, the divers aren't seeing a whole lot of legal sized lobster. So that brings up all kinds of stuff that we're going to have to. I mean, this is an incredible, precious resource that we have. And it's the most well-managed resource along the West Coast. And it's very difficult for commercial guys to, you know, you just can't buy a license and go do it. You've got to wait. You got to get in. One guy drops out, you might be able to buy his boat, buy his license, and buy his gear. So with that, you know, it's a mindset that we have to be in, that we have to also, everybody needs to protect these resources. So if you see something that doesn't seem right, if you think somebody's poaching these things, we need to say something, because we need to protect the resources of our local seafood here in the Southern California area.
Oh, for sure. I think even as a recreational diver for many years, we knew to stay away from the commercial traps. It's a good thing to do because of the fact that's their livelihood. We're going out there for fun, and gee, if we get a lobster, able to catch a lobster or two, have them for dinner, that's great. But these guys, the way they work and set up and the amount of labor they go through, even before the season starts, an incredible amount of work on their part, and nothing guarantees that wherever they set their traps that they're going to be successful.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of money and time goes into the commercial aspect of it, you know. And it wasn't that long ago, John, that you could pull up to a lobster fisherman out there and barter and trade and get a couple lobster to take home. But unfortunately, here in Southern California, you know, the population is growing. We have more and more people on the water. We have people that are following the rules and regulations, and we have people that aren't following the rules and regulations. And we need to pay attention to those that are not following the rules and regulations, because it's seriously damaging our resource. You know, if you go down to the launch ramp, you know, you can see guys come in, you know, sometimes 2-3 times a night, offload, go back out. And we need to keep an eye on that stuff. We really do. It's a precious resource that we need to protect.
Now, we've had incredibly warm water off our Southern California coast. The Scripps Pier, they registered the highest ocean temperature ever that they had at the end of Scripps Pier. I think it was 78.9 degrees. When it comes to lobsters or even things like urchins and everything, that warm water, is it just a surface type evaporation, or does it affect the whole water column?
Well, when you're talking lobsters and sea urchins and all those critters that live in and amongst that habitat of kelp, and that warm water comes through and it kills the kelp, well, then it kills the habitat. The surface kelp definitely took a hit down to about 40 feet, and then there was like a, I don't know if it's the proper wording, but there was like an inshore thermocline almost, where that warmer water was up on top and it got a little bit cooler down below. But it definitely took a hit on the habitat. The kelp, you know, I live right there at the end of Sunset Cliffs, and you could see the kelp was nowhere near what it was in the past. So, and I think the water temperature at Scripps Pier went just a tad over 80.
No kidding.
And wow. I know we saw, Jim and I saw 83.9 in the South Bay of San Diego. So yeah, I mean, the warm water blog is real, and it came through, wiped out the kelp. So with that, the sea urchins aren't eating. They're skinny. That drove the market down. And with the lobsters, you know, that leaves nowhere to hide. They've got to all find a nook and cranny and crevice and hide up in there. And like I said earlier, that what divers were working, they saw a lot of shorts. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Let's talk about a topic that's more in the news right now, and that is tariffs. And we think about tariffs, and we're thinking about aluminum and steel and the price of cars and all this kind of stuff. But I know tariffs work both ways. Products coming into the United States, products going out of the United States. Some of our biggest exports are obviously agriculture, but you also export seafood to China in particular. We're talking about a big tariff. How is that going to affect the availability of lobsters in our local market as opposed to sending lobsters to China?
You know, we're really not sure what's going to happen. We know that it took a hit for the guys on the East Coast, which is strange, because if you know the market, the East Coast lobsters, the ones with the claws, and just above that is Canada, and Canada doesn't have the tariff. So there's a little bit of a discrepancy going on there. Now, from here, if the tariff goes through, obviously it's going to be difficult to get lobsters over into China, and that's going to affect the price. So we're still not quite sure. So the worst case scenario would be a lower price to the commercial fishermen. And if we're not shipping as much over to China, the good news is that there'll be more here for us U.S. consumers. Now, are the restaurants going to pay a higher price? We don't know yet. And again, we have such a massive influx of foreign seafood that comes into this country that it's very difficult for the American fishermen to compete on that level. So you have to remember that good seafood's not cheap, and cheap seafood's not good. And with over 90% of the seafood consumed in this country being imported, keep in mind that over 85% of that's coming in not inspected by the FDA. So we really need to button down and look at our domestic seafood, whether it's from the East Coast, West Coast, or the Gulf states, and try and support those fisheries just like we do our farmers. It's kind of like buying milk from China or overseas. You don't do that. You buy milk from our dairy farmers.
That's right.
Yeah. So if I tell people this all the time, that when you go out and you're buying fish, and on the label, read where the country of origin is. And even if it's fresh, it has a little sticker on it with the price and the weight. And up above that in the corner, it says country of origin. So if that seafood has more frequent flyer miles on it than your American Airlines credit card, how fresh can it be?
Well, not only that, Tommy, you know, obviously we all like to get a bargain on something. And obviously a lot of imports that we see when it's our everyday products, a lot of times they're less priced than what we can find on products made here in the United States. But when it comes to things that we actually ingest, we put in our mouth, we give to our families, what's the problem with the imported seafood as opposed to the seafood that you are getting that within 200-mile radius of San Diego?
Well, then you're getting into these different topics of trace and trust, seafood fraud. What chemicals are added? Is there like a trisodium polyphosphate to, you know, make sure that it doesn't freeze or burn or it holds better? Is it a CO2 gassed product? All of this stuff comes into effect. What is the original country of origin? If it was caught by one boat that has a foreign flag and then transferred to another boat with a different country's flag and then processed there and then shipped to another country and then brought to the U.S., how do we know where that fish actually came from? And you're right, we want to pay less for more. That's just the American way. That's, you know, buy low, sell high. That's how we do business. But at what cost? At what cost is that? Was there slave trade involved? Is there health? You know, is it a bad piece of protein for you? And we were talking before the show, you have to remember that wild seafood is the only protein that we don't manufacture. We manufacture our pigs, our chickens, our cows, all of that. And yet our fishermen, men and women, are going to sea risking their lives and for the tradition and heritage of what they do to bring back the finest product that they can in order to get the highest dollar value at the dock. And yet we're still just pumping in all of this foreign seafood all over our country. And here in San Diego, we are extremely blessed because we have the world's largest sport fishing fleet with the best captains anywhere. We have a live bait fishery with Everham Bait Company. Our sport boats are basically floating hotels with a giant aquarium that allows you to go fishing and to bring that home. And it's, you know, we have Shelter Island Launch Ramp, which I hope opens within the next decade.
Within our lifetime.
Jeez, don't even get me on that one. But, you know, that's the most used launch ramp anywhere in the U.S.
Sure enough.
And we're right here, and there's tuna fishing going on right now. Half-day boats are getting them. Three-quarter-day boats are getting them. This is a great time to go out and catch fish and bring it home and enjoy it with your family rather than going and buying foreign seafood.
You know, when you get the your seafood like that, bring it aboard the boats. They have RSW, whatever it is. It isn't like the boats of 10 or 15 years ago where you put your fish into gunny sacks and they keep the gunny sacks wet, hoping that the evaporative effect of the water would keep the fish cool. That's how we learned to hate Bonita. And now all of a sudden, with RSW, everyone's raving about
everyone's
Bonita
and
Skipjack.
The Barracuda would come out like a U. I know Steve Giffen on the holiday was the first captain to put a sprinkler spray around the outside of his bait tank to keep the gunny sacks wet. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you had to use a little scoop out of the hand wells or a 5-gallon bucket or the hose. And yeah.
All right.
We've come a long way, that's for sure. Seafood's not cheap. Eat it all.
All right. Hey, Tommy's going to be with us from Catalina Offshore Products during the course of the show. We have a number of different guests that are lined up tonight, and we hope you're going to be enjoying them. Tommy's going to be joining in on the conversation because, you know, if it comes to fish, Tommy Gomes is the original fishmonger, and so I know he'll have some interesting questions for our guests. And we want to talk a little bit more about sustainable seafood and actually some of the cuts of fish and the species of fish that we're seeing as table fare now that maybe as long as maybe just 5 or 6 years ago, we never even thought about serving. So,
yeah.
Tommy,
yeah.
Can you stay with us?
Yeah, I'm here. Let's
All
play.
Right. Hey, you're listening to Rod and Reel Radio on AM 540 or at rodandreelradio.com. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Chad Gerlich from Hookup Baits is going to be with us. Hey, we'll be back after these messages.
You can count on El Cajon Ford, as so many Southern Californians have for years. El Cajon Ford has the cars and trucks you can count on, like the all-new Fusion and Escape, Edge, Explorers, and more. And now Fiestas with 38 mpg and Focus with 40 miles per gallon highway, plus C-Max Energy with up to 42 highway EPA estimates. El Cajon Ford has them now. Shop online at elcajonford.com. Choose from hundreds of your favorite F-Series trucks, too. El Cajon Ford knows trucks, no matter what you're hauling or towing, for a great weekend of fishing or for some fun in the desert. Now get special savings on every F-Series truck in stock, 150s, 250s, 350s, at El Cajon Ford. We have commercial trucks too, including the all-new Transit Connect, finally a commercial van with great mileage, helping your business get moving again. El Cajon Ford, worth the short drive from anywhere in Southern California, Broadway and East Main and El Cajon, or online anytime, anywhere at elcajonford.com.
Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. The Gamakatsu sharpening process is the most modern in the world and results in a perfectly conical point that is unequaled in sharpness. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing, drop shot, extra wide gap, worm hooks, finesse wide gap, and a lot more. Gamakatsu has a hook for whatever style of fishing you want to do. Don't waste your time on a cheap hook. Ask for Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
I got a garage full of fishing tackle, and every time I get out on the water, I realize I forgot something important. But I never forget my life jacket. I make sure my buddies wear theirs, too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Angler's Arsenal is the serious angler's first choice for hand-poured plastics, McCoy Line, Spro Products, Gamakatsu Hooks, G. Loomis Fishing Rods, Shimano Products, Ovid Reels, and just about anything you hear advertised on Rod and Reel Radio. Go to anglersarsenal.com and visit our online tackle store. See the huge selection of Western Plastics hand-poured baits, all at anglersarsenal.com.
Come join us at our new location in Lakeside. That's right, we've moved. Come see us at our new location at 12255 Woodside Avenue in Lakeside, California.
Quantum Fishing's gone and done it again for you with the brand new redesigned Smoke PT Reel Series. Everything from your spinning reels all the way to your bait casters, the PTA design has the new PTXA frame. Lighter, stronger, bone crushing drag. Quantum Fishing, we are performance tuned. Check them out at Angler's Arsenal in La Mesa or anglersarsenal.com or give us a call at 619-466-8355.
Hi, this is BSS record holder Dean Rojas. El Cajon Ford helped me when I got started in my career, and let them help you with a new F-Series Ford truck. And remember, nobody beats El Cajon Ford.
Hey, welcome back to Rod and Reel Radio. My in-studio guest is Tommy Gomes, but we're going to take a little break from this conversation. And, you know, we like to talk with a lot of the movers and shakers in the industry. This is a product that is locally made here in San Diego, we're going to talk about next, and has taken Southern California by storm. We've got the owner-operator of this company, Mr. Chad Gerlich from Hookup Baits Company. Hey, Chad, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, John. Thank you. I love being on your show.
Well, hey, Chad, we love having you. And what's even better yet, we like talking about the success story of smaller businesses and see how they've grown. You know, a lot of people just walk into their local dealers and see the hookup baits there, or they go online and hook up baits there, and they go, oh, man, this is kind of a new product. I wonder how well it works. And this is a product that has evolved for a long time. Can you just quickly tell us about the evolution of hookup baits?
Basically, you know, I've been a mini jig tube bait fisherman since I was a teenager. Fish pro staff for many bait, you know, making companies, most of them small, some decent size. And I've been a lover of tube baits since, you know, a young age. And through the years of fishing them, you know, 30 plus years of fishing, mainly only tube baits, fresh water. I started doing a lot of salt water, and nobody really made a salt water kind of grade tube bait, and I knew things, you know, to do about it, you know, different cut, different action, different heads, make the look of it different, more realistic. I knew all those things would help, you know, all these little things you put together that makes it do one big thing. And through the years, I've had those ideas in my head of, you know, and I even told people I pro staff for is, hey, try doing this, try doing that. And, you know, they just want to make them like everyone else has for the last 30, 40 years. And I finally got the opportunity, met the lady of my life, JoJo, and she gave me the opportunity to, you know, follow my dream and make my bait that I knew would do what it's doing to the fishing industry. And it even turned out even better than what my wildest dreams would ever be. And the success of the our company is because they work so well. That's basically it comes down to.
Do they work well, you know, but it took a little while for people to get on the bandwagon on that. And I have to admit, myself included, because mm-hmm. we see a plethora of new products that enter the market every year. But this is a bait that actually you had such great confidence in. And by you going on out and fishing this bait and doing the work on social media and doing the videos and everything else like that, people started getting on the bandwagon in a hurry.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's with the SVS tournaments we started. You know, I've never been a tournament fisherman before, but just the confidence of how well these baits worked. And, you know, me and my partner are seasoned fishermen ourselves, but it was mainly just the confidence of how well these baits worked. And I figured what better way to promote them is to all of a sudden just join a, you know, SVS and fish with the best calico bass fishermen in California and see how I stack up, you know. And winning the series the first year and winning the championship and basically angler of the year, everything you can win, we won the first year out. That, you know, that took off with, you know, the saltwater bass fishermen, and, you know, then they, people seen that, started using them, but then started catching everything else besides bass, you know, the halibut, the white sea bass, the yellowtail now, you know. That's basically what I've been doing this year, is trying to promote the pelagic stuff with it. You know, everybody knows they catch all the inshore stuff now. So it's not like, all right, this year I'm going to target pelagic fish. And we've been just nailing the yellowtail left and right like crazy. So everything eats them, you know. And then we did the SBS series this year, and it was kind of a win-win. You know, we didn't dominate like we did the first year because everybody this year is using hookup baits.
Chad, and as a manufacturer of soft plastics myself, the hookup baits are probably one of the most popular items when it's come in, when it's come for people, you know, actually even starting off to fish. And this is what's so great about this particular product. I just had a call from a fisherman by the name of Kayan, who is actually fishes out of a wheelchair around the bays. And they commented that the hookup bait has brought to them fishing like they've never seen before, even with their handicap. And I can't say what better testimony do you have than that?
No, I know. Tell me, I hear stories like that constantly, and that's what makes it all worth it. You know, it's and what the thing we always see is the kids. You know, it's so easy to use that kids can use it and catch fish. It's, and other things, you know, with me and JoJo, all the fishing we do together, I get it from a lot of guys where they finally able to get their wives out on the water because they don't have to stick a hook through an anchovy's head and mess with trying to catch a little bait fish. You know, they cast out the hook of bait, and let it sink and they catch a fish. I mean, it's simple. There's not a whole lot of technique to it, and it's easy to use, and it's clean, and it makes fishing really fun, and that anybody can do it. And then you put it in a guy's hand that actually really knows how to fish, and then he really goes to town. When you actually know how to fish and he uses something that's easy to fish, it makes it fun. I mean, you're doubling your catches, you're getting better quality than you ever caught. So, I mean, that's the whole magic of the bait. We get that all the time. Man, these things are magical. And so that's kind of like our customers are telling us that. So we're starting to use that as, they're magical.
Chad, I sometimes think that a fisherman that thinks he knows how to fish actually overworks this bait, and you get the fisherman that doesn't necessarily have an idea of what they're doing actually has an advantage over that. And I like to refer to the hookup baits as a technique specific bait, because there are a couple of techniques I know that you teach. I've had the opportunity to fish with you. Can you just give us quickly a little hookup bait 101 on what the best technique is in fishing this lure?
Yeah, the normal technique, I mean, we basically have a two technique type thing. We have what we call our bass retrieve, and then we have a yellowtail retrieve. And the bass retrieve, like I said, the bait's simple. You throw it out and you can get bit. But if you actually learn the technique, that's when you can really do some damage with it. And it's basically, what I tell people, it's like fly lining a sardine and working a swim bait. You're right in between those two. This is where you want to be. It's almost like fly lining a sardine half the cast. Then it's almost like working a swim bait, but not moving it as much as working a swim bait. So you're right in between working those two baits, and you're fishing the fall. That's the magic of these baits also, is how they get bit on the fall. 80% of your bites are going to come on the fall. So, just keep in mind, 80% of your bites come on the fall. Let it fall as much as you can on every cast. So, and work the fall. You let it fall to the bottom. That's when you're most likely to get bit. But once you hit the bottom, you got to be able to read line. Be a line watcher and know when your bait hits the bottom, because you don't want it laying on the bottom, but just tapping the bottom, then lift it off the bottom, pop it, make it do some action to get the fish's attention. That'll get the fish's attention. As soon as it goes back into the glide of that bait, that's when it gets bit. So it's, it's almost like let it fall, attention getter, let it glide, attention getter, let it glide. And that just drives anything, that lives down by the rocks or down by, like on the bottom, they're going to eat it. And, then we have the yellowtail retrieve, which is a long cast, give it a 10 count. And it's almost like working a popper. You want to do a medium speed retrieve and give the rod a little bit of action, little pops, steady pops. And that's going to make the bait travel through the water and do a darting left to right action. And it's the yellowtail, just can't resist it. But we've been catching tuna and dorado. We've got everything this summer on them, all the pelagics. So, for patty hopping, they are just the absolute best patty bait you can use. If there's fish on that patty, you can get to it quick. You can get that long cast to it quick and run it by that patty. And if there's a fish on that patty and he's hungry, he's going to eat that hookup bait before he's going to, before he finds anything else. So, and then you don't have to use up live baits fishing empty patties. So, I mean, basically, we have instructional videos on both of them. That it's called Bass Retrieve and Yellowtail Retrieve. And, that's basically all you need to know. And that, like you said, don't overfish it. The bait does a lot of the work itself. So, don't let the bait not do its work. So it's kind of just keep it from dragging the bottom. Just keep it tapping the bottom or working the surface. So, and it's very versatile trolling them. We've been doing very well trolling them this year. At 4 miles an hour, 3 to 4 miles an hour, we've been catching everything on the troll too. So they're very versatile. Patrol them, let it go to the bottom, fish them on top, mid range. So it's a little bit for you.
When we first brought on the hookup baits, extremely successful bait for fishermen that are fishing the shoreline and any of our local bays, San Diego Bay. Mission Bay or fishing out off the jetties or fishing in the channels, extremely successful saltwater lure. But as we have matured as a hookup bait dealer, we find more and more people now beginning to use these for saltwater fishing, and especially for those fishermen going up to the High Sierras. So whether or not you go up and fish Bridgeport, or you fish in Crowley Lake or the June Lake Loop or whatever it is. We're finding fishermen coming back with more and more stories on their success using hookup baits in fresh water. And tell us a little about how you would use a hookup bait, let's say, in a stream application, and then how you would use it, let's say, fishing Crowley Lake. And I know Crowley Lake, mm-hmm. you have some experience with.
Oh, yeah. That's where I started my fishing, you know, career, as was all trout fishing. I was, you know, been a trout fisherman since a young age, and it's always been my favorite. And probably most of the stuff I know about fishing is I've learned through trout fishing. You know, sight fishing fish, you know, trout, learning how they react to different baits, you know, how to get them to bite, you know, the actions they like, the sizes they like, and everything else. You know, so a lot of learning fish is by sight fishing trout, you know, that I've done through my lifetime. So yeah, trout's my main thing. That's where the hookup bait started. It was with trout jigs, you know, and then it just kind of grew bigger from there. And yeah, we used to fish Crowley Lake, and it was our favorite, but we had fished, there was probably a span of about 8 years there where we fished the Sierras very hard. Me and my buddy, we fished every body of water there is up there just about, and spent a lot of time up there. And that was just our thing, was, you know, and that was all mini jigs back then. It was, you know, way before the hookup baits day. But and the trout jigs is just, you know, and it very successful. Actually, Jimmy Salazar, here's a little good testimony on the trout fishing up there. Jimmy Salazar has been going up there all summer, and it almost seems like he's living up there this summer. But he's been going up there all his life. He lived in June Lake Loop for many years. And he just keeps sending me pictures of big trout after big trout, you know, then a big brown trout, big trout. And he just sent me another picture yesterday. And he said, I can honestly tell you, I have never caught more big fish in one summer in all my life than this year on the hookup baits. And he's blown away by how productive they are up there. So, yeah, it's really cool to see him up there doing so well. But it just, you know, I get that same thing from many people. And it's, you know, mainly our saltwater is our thing. There's a lot of trout jig companies out there that make trout jigs, you know, so, you know, the people that use trout are the hookup baits for trout, you know how well they work, but, you know, we try to concentrate on the saltwater stuff just because that's something new to the industry. So, and so yeah, but we have a video on that. We have the trout retrieve. Now that's the third retrieve. You got the bass retrieve, the yellowtail retrieve, and then there's a trout retrieve too. That's a whole different retrieve. You know, it's a nice steady slow reel, the slow bounce of your rod, and the trout just absolutely love them just as much as anything else does, and they work very well. And that's where the garlic scent of these baits, that came from the trout fishing part of it. So we just kept it going with the rest of the line of all the sizes.
So, you know, and, Chad, I've always said that I'd be happier than a pig with his feet in the trough. Is the only color I had to make in a lure was black, and sit around and make those all day. Unfortunately, yeah. It doesn't happen like that. Western Plastics has 175 to 200 different colors we make. I know right now you're making about 9 different colors, but I've got to tell you, I don't think I've ever seen a lure that color wasn't as important as getting the lure in the water and getting in front of the fish, because it seems like they eat any color.
Yeah, that's the main thing. When I designed these lures, I knew action came first. And we still put a lot of work into these baits, more than anybody knows how much work and you know, tedious trimming and work goes into each bait to make it the action exactly what I designed it to be. And it's part of the process, you know, and we could put a whole lot more of these out if we just, you know, made them and put them out. But I make sure each and every single bait is hand-tuned and, you know, everything's put together correctly so that bait runs exactly straight. It does the sink that it's supposed to do and everything else. And I think that's one of the biggest differences between us and any of the other baits, is just the attention to detail to make sure the action is correct. You know, and then once the action is correct, that's what gets a bit more than anything else. And then, you know, then you put the little variances of profile and color and glitter and all that other stuff goes into it, you know, the realistic eyes, you know. But I think that's exactly what you said. Every color gets bit, that's because it's the action that's getting bit. In my, you know, that's the way I chalk it up.
I know it's exciting to see when customers come in the shop and we have this wall of hookup baits, everything from 1/64th going down to 1.5 ounce, and to see all the colors there. Fishermen are almost overwhelmed, and they're always asking us, what's the best color to use here? What's the best color to use here? And it's hard to, it's like saying, which one of my children do you love the best? It just, it's hard to give a recommendation. They just all work so well.
Yeah, I get that. I get that same question almost daily. And, you know, my first first answer to that is the one you have most confidence in is always the best color, the one you have the most confidence in. And after that, I just, you know, go off of, you know, hey, this is what works for me for this type of fish. This is what seems to work for me. But, yeah, really, it comes down to they all really work. They all have their time and day where they get bit a little bit better than the others. But, you know, that could be any color any day, you know, depending on conditions and everything else. So, really, it comes down to the one you have most confidence in, the one you've caught fish on before, start with that one.
All right. Hey, Chad, we got to take a break right now, but you have a big event coming up I want you to talk about. Can you stay with us for just a little bit longer to talk about it?
Of course. Yeah, I'd be happy to.
All right. Hey, you got Rod and Reel Radio on AM 540 or at rodreelradio.com. We're speaking with Chad Gerlich from Hookup Baits. Tommy Gomes is still with us here in studio. Stay tuned. There's still a lot more Rod and Reel Radio to come after these messages.
Are you ready to sell your current boat and upgrade in preparation for the 2017 fishing season? It's sure to be one for the bucks. I'm Zach Zorn, and a broker for Kessler Yachts located in San Diego. As one of the largest and most reputable brokerages on the West Coast, I can assure that your boat will be sold in a timely manner or that your dream boat will be found. If you want to sell your boat or looking to purchase one, call Zach Zorn at Kessler Yachts, 760-815-8866, so that your name can be added to our long list of satisfied buyers and sellers. That's Zach Zorn, 760-815-8866.
If you're serious about your fishing, choosing the right tackle is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. Iserline makes premium fishing lines, including monofilament, Dacron, Spectra, fluorocarbon, battle-tested harnesses, and top angler-tested Iserline tools and accessories. Iserline premium fishing products are created to provide you with the ultimate in strength, dependability, durability, high abrasion resistance, low stretch, and high quality. All Iserline products are 100% guaranteed against manufacturing defects. You just can't buy better value. Iserline will replace or repair at their option, no questions asked, if you're not pleased with any of their products. Catch what you've been missing. Quality guaranteed.
Every serious angler knows that a quality hook is an important part of their arsenal. Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. Gamakatsu ring hooks are made with a one-piece ring, no welds, no weak spots, a very smooth-moving ring. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing. Live bait hooks, both light and heavy-duty to four extra strong. Circle hooks, tuna hooks, ringed hooks, tuna doubles, and many more. Don't waste your next fishing trip on a cheap hook. Get Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
The warm weather is here and our lakes and rivers are brimming. Just remember, if you love California and you love to boat, please wear your life jacket. And make sure everyone with you puts one on too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Hey, welcome back to Rod and Reel Radio. And we want to remind you, this segment of Rod and Reel Radio is brought to you by the Rockleaf Fish Release System. Now you can release fish back to the depth that they came from safely that are suffering from barotrauma with the Rockleaf Fish Release System. Look for the Rockleaf at your local tackle dealer. Hey, we do want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. Stan and Wendy are off tonight. We're speaking with our special first hour guest, Mr. Chad Gerlich from Hookup Bait Company. And Chad, you've got a special event that you're putting together. You want to tell our listeners a little bit about it and how we can get involved?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's turning into quite the big deal. You know, we've always had customers, you know, saying that they would love to have a hookup bait sponsored tournament coming. You know, and then we started having industry people saying we'd have to have a hookup bait sponsored tournament. And then, you know, one of our sponsors for our tournament fishing is Massey Nissan El Cajon. they, you know, started asking us, hey, can we, you guys host a tournament for us and have this as the sponsor of it? And so it's like, we just kept being asked. And so finally we was like, you know what, let's just do it. And we started putting things together. And then, you know, so you know, Mossy Nissan's putting a lot of money towards prize money and everything else. And, you know, and then Shimano jumped on and put some really nice setups, you know, up for prize. And then CCA came in to offer to help. And so, you know, then we decided, well, how about we just make all the proceeds go to CCA, because we just, we love supporting CCA. And then, you know, San Diego Anglers jumped in and said they would love to help out and everything else. And then we do for a big part of their Warriors on the Water program. So we said, okay, well, the other part of the proceeds that doesn't go to CCA will also go to Warriors in the Water. So, and, you know, and then just tackle shop after tackle shop keep jumping in and want to donate stuff for it. And so it just, yeah, just started turning into a big deal kind of thing, which is, you know, awesome. So, you know, and it's just, so we had to, you know, being a first year and limited time to schedule it, we had to limit it to 80 anglers, 80 adult anglers, you know. And then we set it up as there's a Grom division, which is, you know, young anglers. There's a 12 and under division. Then there's a 13 to 17 division. And those are unlimited. As many kids as we can get to join the tournament, we welcome. And it only costs them $20 to join. You know, but then we wanted to include everybody. You know, there's some people that are just love, you know, fishing the bays from the shore and the docks. So we put a rock and dock category together, you know, for the adults. And then we have the float tube, kayak, and paddleboard, basically anything that's not motorized division to include all those guys. And then we have the boat division, which is, you know, motorized boat, and that's in the bay and outside the bay. And that adds up to it. We put that as a team event, so up to four people on a boat. You know, you can fish as a team. And it's from La Jolla to the Mexican border, and both bays are included, Mission Bay and San Diego Bay. And also for the kayak, float tube, and paddleboarders, they can fish both bays also. So, you know, they just have to register, sign in at Mission Bay. Dania Landing is where we're going to be hosting the event. And then they can go over to San Diego Bay and do their fishing. They just have to be back at Mission Bay for, you know, the weigh-ins and stuff. And another thing, important thing that we're doing, which is I think is awesome, which we learned from the CCA kayak tournaments, is we're doing a measured bass tournament. You know, so it's called, you know, catch, pitcher, release, you know, tournament. So we're going to be giving out rulers as part of your entry. You get a ruler. You go out and catch your bass, and you got, you know, with your wristband, you get a ruler and a wristband showing that you paid your part, and that's you. And you take a picture of your measured bass, and we're using an app, IAM Angler app. You send it in, and that's what it goes by. So it goes by the inches of the length of your bass with mouth closed, and, you know, you can send in as many as you want, and it calls it out for you and everything else. So, you know, and we don't want a single bass killed, basically, in our tournament. That's what it comes down to. You know, and we even, with 12 and under, we set it up as any fish counts. If you're 12 and under and you catch any fish, we want it to count for the, you know, the kid. So they can go catch a mackerel, they can catch a croaker, they can catch a short bass. It doesn't matter. You know, this is what's the beauty of this. It can be a short bass, and you can measure it and release it, you know, so 12 and under, it's any fish they catch counts for them. They can turn it in, and it's their best three fish in length is what, you know, determines first, second, and third. And then the 13 to 17, they have to be bass only, but it can be any size bass. You know, it could be the spotted bay bass, sand bass, calico, but it don't even have to be legal size. It could be any bass. They measure it, turn it in. So then that's the same thing. The three longest fish they have of those, you know, of bass, you know, determines for second, third, and then it goes to the adult division, has to be legal size bass, and those are also measured. So, and then what we do on top of that is there's going to be a jackpot for each division. There'll be a jackpot fish, which is any game fish other than a bass, shark, or ray. And those are the fish they're going to bring in and actually do a, you know, dead or alive weight of the fish, you know, and most likely they're going to be keeping them anyway because it's going to be a halibut or a yellowtail or a white sea bass kind of thing. You know, any game fish other than a bass, is there's a jackpot for that fish, and that's on done on a scale. So, you know, we try to cover all types of fishing, all ages, you know, and everything else. We try to involve everybody, and it's going to be a good time.
So it sounds like it's going to be a good time. Chad, I got to tell you, I think one of the most attractive aspects of the tournament is that the adults aren't going to be fishing against you. So there's going to be some great competition in there, because I know with a lot of your staff and everything else like that, you've got a great group of fishermen with them.
Yeah,
now tell me.
We made that rule first off. You know, first off, I wasn't going to fish it, me and my tournament partner. And that's actually when I first posting I made of the tournament, that's the first question I got. Are you fishing it? You know, and it's all like, no, we're not fishing it. And then I actually turned it, you know, I go, you know what? Nobody in the Hookup Bait family should be fishing it. You know, so that's what it turned into. So if they're affiliated with us in one way.
You know, signing up there either, because we know she is one heck of a stick. Yeah. Hey, there's a lot of different aspects to this event. If people want to find out just exactly what part of this tournament fits, how they can fish, is all that information on your website? And if so, where's the place to go get it?
Yeah, it's actually, we are requiring everyone to pre-register for the tournament. And it is found on our hookupbaits.com website. And you'll find the tournament page there. And there you can sign up. You know, it has all the divisions listed on there, age categories, and then also asking for your shirt size. And, you know, and so you could do sign up for the Groms and adults there and in all divisions. And we want people pre-registered. Like I said, we're closing at 80 adult entries. So, you know, we're at 40-something now. So we're halfway there already.
Excellent.
And we have, you know, we only posted it for about a week now. So, you go in there pre-registered, and, you know, and then there's awesome gift bags being put together. Obviously, that's what we need, your shirt size. Great shirts are being made, and it's turning out the gift bags are going to be worth the price of admission pretty much. So you have nothing
great
to lose, really. Yeah,
I know you can probably also get flyers at local dealers that handle hookup baits. I know we have them here at Angler's Arsenal, and I think you can get them throughout the Southern California area for the dealers that are carrying hookups.
Yeah. With every order that's going to the dealers, we're putting a big stack of flyers with them. So yeah, they're getting around.
All right. And if you can't get to a dealer, or maybe you're listening to this show and there isn't a dealer in your area, I know you also sell over the internet. And tell us where people can go to find out the complete selection of hookups and how to order them.
Yeah, hookupbaits.com has everything you need. You know, there's a few sizes that we don't sell to dealers. So those are the special order ones that are the 8-inch baits, the 3 and 4 ounce. You can find them there. And we also have, you know, the 3-way swivels we like to use for baits and the Mendit. And, you know, there's some odds and ends things there that your dealer might not carry that, you know, we recommend for the hookup baits. You can find that stuff there and just sign up for the tournament. And all the info and rules and everything is there also. So.
All right, Chad Gerlich, owner-operator of Hookup Baits. Hey, Chad, congratulations on producing such a successful bait. And we look forward. We are proud to carry them here in the store. And not only that, we're also really eager to hear all the stories that our customers come in from the success they've had with your product. Thanks a lot for making us look good as dealers.
No, I appreciate everything you do, John, and, you know, everybody out there that supports Hookup Baits is just amazing. What me and JoJo call it, this is our baby. This is something we're raising together, and, you know, the success of it so far has been just off the charts. You know, neither one of us expected it to do as well as it is, and, you know, and there's really, we have no plans in stopping. You know, we have big plans to produce more and, you know, take care of a lot of, you know, requests that customers are requesting. You know, we are working hard to try to keep up with demand first, but then also take care of a lot of these requests, you know, just to make it a good thing all the way around. And we love supporting the fishing industry and people that, you know, support the fishing industry, and we do all we can and just try to bring out kids, women, and, you know, the wounded warriors you know, we love that kind of stuff. That's what we do. That's what we're all about.
All right, Chad. So, thanks a lot for being with us. Good luck on the tournament, and let us check in with you from time to time, because I know you've got some new products that are going to be unleashed in the fishing industry, and we just may want to hear about them.
Oh, yeah, I got a whole bench full of stuff I play with constantly, and, I love to release them. It's just that's a part of the thing is we're trying to keep up with the demand so we can put some new stuff out there. So, yeah, there's some great stuff we're making. So,
All right.
And I'm happy to do your show anytime, John.
All right, Chad.
Love
thanks
what you're
a lot
doing.
Again, and thanks a lot for supplying us with such a great product.
it's my pleasure. Believe me.
All right. Hey, Chad Gerlich from Hookup Baits. You want more information about that tournament, just stop off at your local dealer that carries Hookup Baits or go to hookupbaits.com/tournament. Tommy, I know you're fishing the bay a lot and everything else like that, but I know that I don't know if you're the original fishmonger, but you have taken the name fishmonger to a new level. One of the things that I'm just impressed about what Catalina Offshore Products has is giving us education about sustainable seafood and then also introducing us to some of the new species of fish that, well, maybe not new to you, but are new to us that make for absolutely fantastic table fare.
Yeah, there's no such thing as trash fish. You know, and another way to look at it is if the big fish eat the small fish, why aren't we eating the small fish, meaning the mackerel, the sardines, the anchovies, the finfish? We don't do that here. We want our seafood to be a 4-ounce piece of flaky white fish, skin off, bloodline out, and that's not the way it should be. We should be able to harvest that fish and utilize that whole fish and eat every bit of it. If you go out on a half day boat and you're fishing with your kids and you're going to bring fish home, that 14, 15, 16 inch calico bass, I mean, that's a perfect size bass for dinner for two. Or, you know, when we were getting those little firecracker yellowtail, when they came through and the half, three quarter day boats were getting those, that's a perfect size fish for a family of four or six cooking the whole fish. And I know a lot of people don't want to look at the eyes and the heads on it and all that, but that's where the best flavor is. You know, if you cut the bone off of a T-bone steak, it's no longer a T-bone, right? I mean, and if you cut all the fat off of a steak, you don't get that flavor. So when we're removing all the belly meat and the collars and all of that, we're removing the flavor of the fish, and we're just getting that, for me personally, it's just that bland piece of fillet that we have to season or cover in a sauce or something like that. That's ridiculous.
You know, it's just like one of my favorite cuts of meat. I like a ribeye, but boy, bone in ribeye, you can't beat that. And you're saying that when it comes to fish, sometimes thinking about serving that bone in, whether or not you're baking it or you're sauteing it, or even if you do it like you know, the Hispanic people do, well, they'll take and they'll slice it up and they'll deep fry the whole fish, and then you just flake the meat off there. You get an awesome tasting product.
You know, you get, everybody's got a turkey fryer, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Everybody's got a turkey fryer. Use that. Fire it up, get it hot, clean the fish, scale it, gut it, score it, dump it in there, crisp that thing up. I guarantee you, make your own sauce, throw some salsa on there with it, grab some tortillas and go to town, eat the whole fish.
And for years, I was wondering why the deckhands, when they were cleaning my tuna, would clean them in such a way where I'd get a nice loin off the shoulders. And for some reason, they were keeping those stinky old bellies and the collars.
Yeah.
And I couldn't understand why they'd want to do that. How can they use that much bait?
Yeah, well, they weren't using it for bait. Because I think I was one of those guys back in the day. We started saving the collars with John Houlihan on the Galilean. That was 35-plus years ago. And I remember Tim Baker, who's with Mike Lum and those guys at Fred Hall, Tim used to come out on the boat a lot. I mean, we were both a lot younger and a lot dumber, I guess, but I used to save the callers, and I remember cooking them up out there with anchovies. I deep fried a bunch of anchovies in a Krusty's pancake mix, dry batter with salt and pepper and a little powdered garlic, and I deep fried those, and I cooked up those callers, and it was amazing. And that was 35 years ago, you know?
Right. Hey, that's the voice of Tommy Gomes from Catalina Offshore Products. Hey, we're going to take a break right now, but coming up next, Captain Jared Davis from Salty Lady Sports Fishing out of Sausalito, California. Why are we taking a trip up to Sausalito? You're going to find out after these messages.
You can count on El Cajon Ford, as so many Southern Californians have for years. El Cajon Ford has the cars and trucks you can count on, like the all-new Fusion and Escape, Edge, Explorers, and more. And now, Fiestas with 38 mpg and Focus with 40 miles per gallon highway, plus C-Max Energy with up to 42 highway EPA estimates. El Cajon Ford has them now. Shop online at elcajonford.com. Choose from hundreds of your favorite F-Series trucks, too. El Cajon Ford knows trucks, no matter what you're hauling or towing, for a great weekend of fishing or for some fun in the desert. Now get special savings on every F-Series truck in stock, 150s, 250s, 350s, at El Cajon Ford. We have commercial trucks too, including the all-new Transit Connect. Finally, a commercial van with great mileage, helping your business get moving again. El Cajon Ford, worth the short drive from anywhere in Southern California, Broadway and East Main in El Cajon, or online, anytime, anywhere, at elcajonford.com.
He's not just my fishing buddy. After 30 years, he's a brother, and I'd sure hate to lose him. His bass boat's got nothing to do with it. So I make sure both of us wear a life jacket. Save the ones you love, even if they don't own a fancy boat. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Quantum Fishing's gone and done it again for you with the brand new redesigned Smoke PT Reel Series. Everything from your spinning reels all the way to your bait casters, the PTA design has the new PTXA frame, lighter, stronger, bone-crushing drag. Quantum Fishing, we are performance-tuned. Check them out at Angler's Arsenal in La Mesa or anglersarsenal.com or give us a call at 619-466-8355.
Attention Rod and Reel Radio listeners. Be sure to check out the Code Group mobile app. You can listen to the Rod and Reel Radio show live, along with show archives, without internet access. The Code Group app has all kinds of cool features for fishermen, including daily Southern California saltwater reports, weather reports, episodes of Inside Sport Fishing, marine traffic, and much more. Get the free Code Group mobile app by texting the word REEL, R-E-E-L, to 90407, or enter the words Code Group in the App Store on your smartphone.
It's a big deal. You know, I've always wanted to be on Rod and Reel Radio. I won the Bassmaster Classic. I did a McDonald's commercial, but now I know I've made it.
I fulfilled my dream. That is just absolutely awesome.
And we want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. I'm your host, Hopalong John Cassidy. In studio with me is the fishmonger himself, Tommy Gomes. And Tommy, your phone has been dinging off the hook. So is mine. You were amazed at how far out this radio signal is getting with some of the people that know you.
Yeah, I got a friend, Jeffrey, up there in Lompoc. And if you know anything about my history, I used to live in Lompoc. Didn't get out a lot, but I would live there. He's probably cracking up right now.
Right. Hey, and we want to yell out to all the people. We just got a note that are listening to us from Vandenberg Air Force Base. So, guys, thank you very much for listening to Rod and Reel Radio. Hey, we're going to take you up north right now. No, it's not going to be Alaska. I know a lot of you during the summer, you go up to Alaska, you love the fishing up there, you love getting salmon, whether it be the silver salmon or whether it's the sockeye salmon, everything like that. And you lament because after going to Alaska, you think, oh, there's nowhere to go for salmon. And I really like not only eating salmon, we're catching salmon. Well, I think we have the remedy for you on that. And That's going to be our next guest, Captain Jared Davis from Salty Lady Sports Fishing out of Sausalito, California. Captain Jared, welcome to Rod and Reel Radio.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, now, you know, I was mentioning not having to go up to Alaska to find a great source of not only catching, but eating fresh salmon. And you've got the remedy for that, and it's right up there in Sausalito. Tell us a little bit about Salty Lady Sports Fishing.
Yeah, you know, this is surprisingly enough, I think you really don't have to go that far north. We have a salmon fishery here in the San Francisco Bay Area that will rival fisheries in Alaska for king salmon, for sure. And we run charter fishing excursions out of Sausalito, California, just on the north side of the Golden Gate Bridge. You know, they're about 8 to 10 hour trips. And we've been having an absolutely phenomenal season this year. It's the best anybody can remember for a long time.
You know, Captain Jared, tell us a little bit about your operation, because I know a lot of times us folks here from Southern California, we love going up to the San Francisco area, the wine country, taking advantage of the local cuisine, seeing a lot of the sights up there. We may not necessarily get up there, though, with our rod and reel. If we find that we want to spend some time out of, let's say, a 2, 3, or 4 day trip we might spend in the San Francisco area, can you supply us with all the gear we need to go fishing?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a little different ball game than the boats in Southern California, and I have fished quite extensively from San Diego, H&M, and Seaforth. But things are a little different here. The boats tend to be a little bit smaller, a little bit faster. You know, the Salty Lady is a 56-foot west port, and it does about 17 to 18 knots. And we get out there, and we get them, and we get back. There are trips that leave at 6 a.m. and generally return around 3 or 4. The limit of salmon is 2 fish per person, and we've had a lot of days this year where we did get the limits. I don't know, minimum size for these king salmon is 20 inches, but we're currently getting fish that are averaging 18 to 22 pounds, I'd say, with of larger fish taken in the 30-pound class.
That's beautiful.
Boy, that is great. Take us through a regular day. In other words, you're leaving at 6 o'clock in the morning. How far out do you have to go to get to the fishing grounds? And then what's the technique that you're using to catch these fish?
Yeah, well, we're trolling. So it's a different rig than anything that you would see in Southern California fisheries. It's a very interesting rig. It's fished with a sinker release, which is like a spring-loaded device that holds on the weight. So it's a large weight. It's a 2.5-pound weight to get down to depth where you want to catch these fish. With the speed that we're trolling, you need a fairly large weight. So hence we use these sinker releases. And then there's a... often a flasher or a, they call them spin cones up here. I don't know, triangular shaped flasher that hangs right behind the sinker. And then a leader, 6-foot leader or so, attached to a hook. And it's like a long shanked hook. You actually thread a dead anchovy through the hook. And as you troll along, it makes the anchovy spin. And it's just irresistible to these king salmon. That's the basic technique.
Are you tying those anchovy to the hook, or how are you keeping them on there? Well, I mean, how fast are you trolling?
It's about 3 knots what the trolling speed is. So yeah, the bait's actually rigged with it's an interesting hook. You're not going to see it anywhere else. It's a long shank hook, and there's a pin that goes through the head of the anchovy and through a hole in the top of the hook. And then you put a little rubber band around it so that keeps the bait on the hook. And Sweet. It's got a little bit of a bend in it, so it spins as you troll along.
Now, to give everyone this, an opportunity to catch fish, are you going in different groups? Like, how many people can troll at one time? And then are you rotating those groups? And so everyone gets multiple opportunities during the course of the day to catch fish.
Right. You know, what we do is we fish everybody at the same time. And when we're busy and really full, we fish around 25 people. What you do is you stagger the depths. So if the rods that are set further up toward the bow are fished at shallow depths, and then they get progressively deeper as you go along the sides of the boat.
Are you doing a rotation on the depth? Like the guys up in the bow, they get to work their way towards the stern and around the boat or stuff like that? I mean, back in the day, they used to have clothespins down here in Southern California. Yeah. It had red clothespins, your turn to troll, green clothespins, or number right. 1 through 5. Do you do a rotation on that?
Yeah, I mean, in general, no, but we do a lot of that on the Salty Lady. And we do fish, it's called boat limits. California Department of Fish and Wildlife allows for charter fishing vessels to do what they call boat limits, okay? So invariably, we'll get somebody with the hot rod, and he'll get more than his daily bag limit during the course of the day, and it's perfectly legal and all that. And the people that weren't as fortunate at the end of the day get the extras from somebody that caught more fish. What we do on the Salty Lady is often try to mix it up. We're looking around. We're making sure that the people that haven't caught fish yet, they get that next hookup and let them reel it in.
That's very cool, man, that works out that way. You know, it'll always bring always bring an angler back and an out-of-towner back to your boat. That's a good call.
Yeah, we do our best to make sure that everybody at least gets to fight and catch their own fish at some point throughout the day.
Now, for anglers that want to bring their own gear, what is the ultimate setup for fishing salmon like this?
It runs the gamut. So we have a lot of people that bring their own gear, and we have people that bring stuff from everything that's way too light to something that's way too heavy. But I mean, the optimum rod to use would be a medium action rated for 20 to 50 pound line. You know, you have to have a fairly stiff action to set the hook into the fish. You don't actually set the hook yourself, just the motion of the trolling in the boat will set the hook for you. So all you got to do is take the rod out of the holder and start reeling them in. But that's what we have. We have medium action ugly sticks with pin 113H reels. That's our rental gear. Just bought all brand new rods and reels, and it's nothing special, but that works quite well for the salmon trolling.
And tell me now, if a fisherman is, let's say I come on up there and I brought the family and my wife doesn't want to go up, but I spend a day fishing with you and then we're going to take off, we're going to the wine country and we're going to do other things that are available in that area. And I've caught myself a few salmon. What type of processing do you offer that the fishermen can keep their, you know, their catch either fresh and or do you offer a service where you can send it to them back home?
Well, I mean, on board, we will gut and gill the fish as they're being caught. So the fish are very well cared for on board. Once we get back to the dock, we have to bring back whole fish regulations so that they can be checked for minimum size and whatnot should there be wardens at the dock. We bring in whole fish. Once we tie up, though, we do offer filleting service, and we'll bag them up. There's a fish market and restaurant in our parking lot at our harbor that also offers a little more in-depth service like vacuum sealing and processing.
All right. And now,
I think they actually ship it as well.
Okay. you know, we get a lot of news down here that the salmon populations are up, they're down, water flow is good, it isn't good, it is affecting salmon. It looks like you're experiencing a great bite there right now. What are some of the things that are being done to ensure that our salmon population up there by you is sustainable?
Well, salmon have a unique pattern to their life cycle, right? They go up into the freshwater rivers to spawn. These rivers that flow into the bay have all been dammed. Every single one of them has a dam on it. So their native spawning grounds have been absent for, you know, a very long time since these dams were built. Part of the building the dams was that they were required to build hatcheries at the base of the dam. So basically these wild fish return, they can't go past the dam, so they go into these hatcheries where they take the eggs and the sperm from the males, mix them together, hatch out these fish, and then release them when they're fry, you know, tiny baby fish. And they've done that since the dams were built, and it worked out pretty good for a long time. Problem came when water diversions became more, right? So the Central Valley agriculture and the residential use, they take a lot of water out of these rivers. They've gotten to a point where there's low flows and warm water. The fish get predated on by striped bass and largemouth bass. So a lot of the small fish weren't making it out to sea where they could become adults and return. What they've done in recent years, it's a fairly new thing, is they've taken to trucking or barging the fish, the baby fish, past the danger zone of the low flows and the warm water, downstream a little further where they have a chance to make it out to sea. And it has worked, and it has worked better than anyone ever really thought it would. They predicted a kind of slow year because they didn't take into account these measures they've taken to mitigate the effects of water diversions and a drought that we had about 4 or 5 years ago, if you remember that.
It's happening again to us.
What's going on down there with your sea lion and seal population?
Oh, we get to see lions here, too. I don't know if it's quite the issue that's in Southern California, but we do have our share. There's a section in our log books where we fill out every day how many fish were lost to sea lions. And sure, it happens. You know, it seems like one day it'll be a real issue, and then, you know, we'll go a couple weeks without having any problem with it. So it's not nearly like it is in Southern California.
Tell me, that's kind of interesting because I don't know of any of our boats here that are logging fish that are lost to sea lions, especially around the Coronado Islands.
Yeah, they wouldn't have time.
Yeah.
Now, you're netting those fish, right? When they come up to color, those are being netted, right? They're not being gaffed?
No, they're netted, yeah.
Nice.
We net every fish.
Yeah, it's such a clean operation up there.
It sounds good and such a beautiful fish. Captain Jared Davis from Salty Lady Sports Fishing. People from the Southern California area or anywhere that are listening to us want to investigate more about how they can book with you to find out when your season is, because I think you still have all of October, and then after October, you offer some special services too. How's the best way to go about doing it?
Well, you can always check us out on our website. It's pretty easy to find. saltylady.com.
Info and everything else like that. And right now, it sounds like between now and doesn't your season end, I think, at the end of October?
Yeah, the salmon season ends on Halloween, October 31st. That's our last day for salmon season. After that, we'll be running Dungeness crab trips.
Are you doing any bottom fishing while you're doing the dungy fishing too?
I think for Rod the first reel? Little bit, we're going to do crab only, but probably starting in December, we might start doing some combo trips with the crab and rockfish together.
Nice. Now, is your operation strictly charter, or is it open party and charter?
No, we do mostly open loads, but we are certainly available for full boat charters as well.
Nice.
And typically, how many people do you need to sign up to get out on one of these trips, Captain Davis?
You know, we've been running some trips with as little as 8 people. Nice. Our maximum load for fishing, salmon trolling in particular, would be 25. The boat's certified for 51 people by the Coast Guard. But, you know, when you start doing fishing, you certainly don't want that many people on board. So we limit the loads to 25 maximum.
All right. Well, Captain Jared Davis from Salty Lady Sports Fishing, thanks a lot for exposing us to another aspect of fishing along our California coastline, salmon fishing out of Sausalito. I'm kind of excited about that, and also excited the fact that you're still catching reds while towards the end of the season up in Alaska, it was basically silver. So really a premium quality fish to catch. And as Tommy Gelms here, the fishmonger, will attest to, sustainable, natural seafood. You can't beat it.
Yeah, roger that, man. Good job.
Not cheap either. I don't mention that. You know, if you go to look for fresh wild king salmon, I'm not talking about Atlantic farm-raised salmon like you buy at Costco. King salmon, it's going for $30 and $35 a pound. So, you know, you get out there and get a couple 20-pounders, it's well worth the price of admission.
And, Tommy, your motto is?
Good seafood's not cheap. Cheap seafood's not good. Read the label. Support the American fisherman on all fronts.
God bless you.
Captain Jared, thank you very much for taking time to be with us tonight, okay? Much luck to you.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on your show.
All right. Hey, we took a little time over to speak with Captain Jared. We got to take a break right now. You're listening to Rod and Reel Radio on AM 540 or rodandreelradio.com. Stay tuned. There's still lots more to come.
I like rafting. I love whitewater. But I never forget that snowmelt in the river can cause cold water shock. I wear a life jacket always. Anyone with me has got to do the same. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel, specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. The Gamakatsu sharpening process is the most modern in the world and results in a perfectly conical point that is unequaled in sharpness. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing, drop shot, extra wide gap, worm hooks, finesse wide gap, and a lot more. Gamakatsu has a hook for whatever style of fishing you want to do. Don't waste your time on a cheap hook. Ask for Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
Hey everybody, this is a message for our listeners from a new Baja Magic Lodge at Cedros Island. Cedros Outdoor Adventures wants to make your dream of fishing Cedros Island a reality. Want to go after giant calicos or yellowtail with the best Cedros Island fishing organization, but you just don't know who to contact? Then give Cedros Outdoor Adventures a call at 619-793-5419, or even better yet, log on to their informative website at cedrosoutdooradventures.com. There you can visit their trip calendar and schedule a trip that's convenient for you. Once again, the phone number is 619-793-5419 or their website of cedrosoutdooradventures.com.
I got a garage full of fishing tackle, and every time I get out on the water, I realize I forgot something important. But I never forget my life jacket. I make sure my buddies wear theirs, too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Hi, it's Tony Gwynn. Nobody treats you better. Nobody beats El Cajon Ford.
Hi, it's Tony Gwynn Jr. For years, my dad said it so often. Nobody beats El Cajon Ford, and nobody treats you better. And that's so true. Now I am proud to join the El Cajon Ford team because with them, it's all about family. They treat you right. You're part of our family at El Cajon Ford.
Thanks, Tony. We'll see you at Broadway in East Main and ElCajonFord.com.
Hey, we do want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. Tommy Combs is with me here in the studio tonight. We've been cutting up, having a good time. Captain Chuck Taft from Sea Adventure Sports Fishing is scheduled for with us for a little bit later. But, Tommy, we were talking a little bit about sustainable seafood and some of the fish that we're seeing at Catalina Offshore and in our restaurants today, thanks to Catalina Offshore, that we may not have been seeing 5 years ago. Tell us about some of that transition to different types of fish.
Well, you know, there's a lot of great markets around the city of San Diego, and when it comes to sustainability, it's the $20 question. You know, what's the definition of sustainable seafood, sustainable farming, so on and so forth. You know, it was several years back, I took a personal interest in the OPA to try and educate people on this great fish, and it's starting to catch on, a little slow out the gate, but it's starting to pick up a little more each and every time a boat comes in to offload. You know, one of the things that we do at the shop is we buy the whole load. So when the long line boat comes in, he's got big eye tuna, OPA, mongchong, mahi-mahi, wahoo, and we'll buy the whole load. We don't go down there and cherry pick. And then we ship out all over the country to other wholesalers and so on and so forth. So utilization of the whole fish comes into play. I mean, it's great to walk into a shop like mine or Point Loma Seafood or Blue Water and see these beautiful fillets, but also look around and see where the whole fish are, the whole rock cod and things like that, or even yet, for me, there's the abductor muscle inside the OPA is a phenomenal source of protein. You can make anything from grandma's meatloaf to, you know, mom's spaghetti sauce and everything in between with this abductor muscle. It's very cool. So, you know, sustainable seafood, for me, it starts with eating the whole fish. Obviously, you know, you get a, you know, 200-pound bluefin, you're not going to eat that whole thing. You're going to share it with everybody. But don't forget the collars, and don't forget, take that head and throw it on your smoker and smoke it and split it open and get that meat out of the roof and the roof of the mouth and in the core at the top of the head there. There's two, like, cone-shaped channels of meat that's up in there, and there's some great meat up in there. And we're cutting it up and or tossing it over off of the cutting board and stuff like that. So try and eat as much of the fish as you can, and that's one way to start with sustainable seafood.
Now, when you go over to Catalina Offshore products or even Point Loma Seafoods or any of the fine markets around, there are fish that I just don't recognize where they are, and I'm not talking about things like scod or scrod or, you know, made-up commercial names like that. These are actually species of fish that are coming from different areas I'm just not familiar with. And you guys are responsible for, you know, bringing in these fish. They're all caught for the most part locally and exposing us to them. And I want to thank you for that because some of them are great table fare.
Yeah, we try, you know, they're offloaded locally. That's for sure. You know, the long line guys are on the outside, way outside. But like the mongchong, that fish would normally go to Hawaii because that's where the guys would be offloading. So it would stay there in the auctions and then go into the hotels and stuff like that. So we have the mongchong over here. And the mongchong ribs, I'm telling you, the mongchong ribs, John, are insanely delicious. They truly are. And the bones are about the size of an old tongue depressor, you mm-hmm. know, say, ah. And they're kind of like you can eat the rib bones and everything. You remember growing up, the kid that ate the whole sunflower seed and all?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what you can do with the mongchong ribs. Or you can just bite down on the bone and pull it out. And it's like that last bite of an ice cream of a popsicle. You know, you bite down and pull that stick out.
Now, one of the things I find that's really fun when I go to Catalina Offshore Products is not only seeing the great array of seafood that you have lined out every day, but now you've gone into a lot of the ancillary products, the spices, the curries. And Tommy, I got to tell you, I'm a sucker for this. You introduced me to the pasteurized crab that you have. And at first thought, you'd think crab coming out of a can, how good that can that be? Oh, my God, Tommy, you make a crab sandwich or crab omelets or a crab cakes, this is the crab you want to be using. It's sweet. It's flaky. There's no veins in it. And yeah, in the beginning, it's a little expensive. But when you look at how many meals you get out of that can of crab, I can't believe it. And then you go through your frozen food department, and you got all kinds of great things in there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a big difference between a $30 can of crab and a $12.99 can of crab.
Oh, is there ever?
I mean, this ain't UNICEF. We're trying to make some money here.
No, I'm just thinking about the quality, you know, because, you know, you go out and you have a good crab sandwich and you get some of that great sourdough bread, one of my favorite things to eat. And unfortunately, because of the situations, that sandwich can cost you $20, $22 somewhere. Now, when you go out and you get, you know, your can of crab, you can make eight sandwiches like that for about the same amount of money, and it's great quality.
Yeah, and you know, I'd rather go and spend $22 on a crab sandwich that's spelled with a C than $13.99 for a crab sandwich that's spelled with a K.
Well, then you're introducing your customers now to all kinds of spices and condiments to use with the fish that we weren't necessarily exposed to just going to the grocery store.
It's just a piece of fish. Have fun with it. Learn how to cook it. Don't be intimidated by it. And people say, oh, I like it covered in sauce. And I like, well, the reason why you're covered in sauce is because it's old fish. Start with fresh. Go to your local seafood markets here in town and talk to the guys behind the counter, or talk to that fish market's fishmonger and say, hey, I've been eating white sea bass, salmon, and swordfish, and now I want to try something else, and talk to them about a recipe. I mean, lemon, butter, salt, and pepper. Boom. Start with that. Pretty simple, you know, and whole fish on the barbecue, or wrap it up in tin foil and stuff it with herbs and spices and go to town, or deep fry it in that turkey fryer. You know, do these things with your fish. And the Pacific mackerel that we catch off Shelter Island Pier, I mean, come on, you know, scale it and pull the gills out of it and shove a skewer through it and roast it over an open flame and go to town. I mean, this is a great piece of fish. Okay. We just don't eat it.
The thing that is concerns us all about what we put in our bodies is the safety of the product. There's a lot of concern about plastic pollution, nuclear pollution that comes from Pacific Rim countries and everything, especially in our tuna. Everyone thinks that our tuna glows in the dark, and that most of our bottom feeding fish here eat nothing but, you know, treated sewage and everything else like that. And I know our local product goes through a lot of inspection, and actually I got to think that it's safer than any of the other red meats and a lot of things that you get in your grocery store today.
Yeah. Cause those big giant pig farms are so clean, and you know, our beef, chicken, and pork is just absolutely primo. But I mean, I'm kidding. Actually, wild seafood is the only thing in this country that we don't produce. We produce beef, chicken, and pork. And our fishermen are going out to get this stuff. And, yeah, we do have a problem with our ocean. We're a virus. The human race is a virus, and the planet is our host. And the only way to kill the virus is to kill the host. And we're doing a damn good job of doing that. You know, the big thing about Fukushima and all that stuff. And, well, you think Fukushima is the only radiation that's been out there? We got nuclear subs running all over the place and everything else going on, you know. And what about the Nevada desert when we were doing the testing out there? And, you know, it's really weird. But ocean acidification is alive and well. It's growing. Pollution factor is alive and well. And plastic, back in the day, I remember the first time I went to Cocos Island, there was no plastic at high tide. And now there's plastic at high tide all around the island. Or booby birds, the carcasses that are dead booby birds laying on the sand or in their nesting areas, and their stomachs are full of plastic. You see these things now all over the internet, but when I was working on tuna boats with my dad and my uncles, and we would go to these isolated areas, these isolated islands, and we would see these birds that had died and they were rotting, and in the middle of them was plastic, you know?
Okay, well, the only thing I liken it to is if you look at chickens, if you look at pigs, if you look at beef, they have all evolved over the past 100 years so that more can be produced, that they can be produced in a smaller area, and, you know, are set up to be put in pens so that we can get mass production for people. But when you go out and you get a piece of seafood, you get a piece of fish, or you get a lobster, it is the same quality of lobster that our ancestor that may have gone into a tide pool 150 years ago and pulled out of a tide pool, or someone at the Catalina Tuna Club pulled off a Catalina in the 1880s. That product hasn't changed. It's just the way it was meant to be compared to anything else we eat.
Yeah, the only thing that's changed really is the nutrients. Everything goes through a cycle, like we're in one now with the warm water and all that stuff. I think nutrients in the water plays a big part in crustaceans and the way it tastes. I mean, I would definitely take a San Clemente lobster over an inshore lobster. You know, just different nutrients out there, a little more current flow, a little different stuff going on out there than it is on the inside.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, seafood is great. I think people should eat more of it. They should ask questions, know the source, know where it's coming from, and talk about it.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a break right now, but coming up next, Captain Chuck Taft from Sea Adventure Sports Fishing. You want to talk about going out and getting your own fresh seafood? Now's the time to do it. Captain Chuck's going to talk to us about the opportunity. So stay tuned. There's still a lot more to come after these messages.
Every serious angler knows that a quality hook is an important part of their arsenal. Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. Gamakatsu ring hooks are made with a one-piece ring, no welds, no weak spots, a very smooth-moving ring. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing. Live bait hooks, both light and heavy-duty to four extra strong. Circle hooks, tuna hooks, ringed hooks, tuna doubles, and many more. Don't waste your next fishing trip on a cheap hook. Get Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
The warm weather is here and our lakes and rivers are brimming. Just remember, if you love California and you love to boat, please wear your life jacket. And make sure everyone with you puts one on too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Hey, bass fishermen. Who do you call for your bass boat insurance? Well, if you're not calling me at 1-800-BASS-BOAT for your boat insurance, you're probably paying too much and may not have the coverage that you need. In 1974, I developed the Bass Boat Program that is what all the pros use today. The reason? No depreciation or any partial claim for your hull, your big motor, your trolling motor, or your electronics until your boat's 10 years old. That's right, you only pay $250 to get your boat on the water for any partial claim, and we still pay a stated value replacement cost for your boat if you have a total loss. We're the only people in the industry that does that, and that's why we are the choice of the pros. So if you want the best, forget the rest. Just call 1-800-BASS-BOAT. Call 1-800-227-7262 or just spell Bass Boat. 1-800-BASS-BOAT. I know there's too many letters, but the T is free and the call's on me. That's 1-800-BASS-BOAT, the choice of the pros for bass boat insurance. For more information, log on to 1-800-BASS-BOAT.com.
Rod and Reel Radio is now available as a podcast you can subscribe to on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcasting app. Get notified as soon as new episodes are available, or go back and listen to our past shows. Browse through all of our archive shows at rodandreelradio.com/archives and click the subscribe button to get started listening now.
Hey, welcome back to Rod and Reel Radio. Well, right now we were scheduled to have Chuck Taft on. We still might be able to get him on, but Chuck is out of range right now. He's coming back in from a fishing trip, and hopefully if we can make connection with him before the end of the show, we will. So right now we got Tommy Gomes on with us, and Tommy, we've talked a lot about a lot of subjects right now. Tell you, If people were to come into Catalina Offshore Products and make a recommendation for Tommy, what's fresh right now? What were some of the things you'd recommend to them?
Definitely the big eye tuna, definitely Mong Chong. Opa is in the house. Then more on the Baja side, the gold spot bass, the white sea bass, halibut. We've got the Cabrilla grouper. We've got fish coming in about every other day. But basically, I mean, the old fishmonger joke is, you know, what's fresh today? Well, then I got to get rid of this stuff because it's got a little time on it.
Yeah, I understand that. One of the things, though, that I'm happy to see is I'm starting to go into the local restaurants, and I'm finding that when I order seafood, it's sustainable seafood that has come from one of our local San Diego sources. And I can't tell you how happy I'm, not only how happy I am to see it, it's still very reasonably priced and compared to other things on the menu. And I know it's a great fresh product.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of great local fishermen. Johnny Law has been around for a long time. Of course, Andy Saraspi, Kelly Fukushima, you know, Dan Major, all these guys at the, they're down at the Dockside Market on Saturday. They come in. You're buying from the fishermen straight off the boat on the dock. And that's great. It's great for San Diego. It's great for the fishermen. It's great for the public. It's great for places like Catalina Offshore, Blue Water, the fishery, Point Loma Seafoods, and Mitch's, all those guys. It's great for everybody because people are getting out there and they're eating fish that they normally wouldn't eat. See, we get stuck on this salmon, a type of sea bass of some kind. You know, they say sea bass. Swordfish, a lot of frozen swordfish that's gas treated coming in from all over the world. And now people are starting to realize that, oh, we have, our fishermen are starting to sell at the dock again. I mean, not many people know this, but San Diego was built on a couple of industries. One was the Navy, one was Roar, and one was the tuna fleet.
Sure enough.
Right up until 1985, you know, I mean, it was not a problem to go down to a tuna boat and buy a whole tuna off the boat. You could do that. So it's really cool to see the public going down to Dockside Market. And for me, as a fishmonger, it's cool because I like seeing the kids go down there, and I love seeing the kids come into Catalina Offshore because when they come in and I'm there, you know, I got the fishing coloring books and I got the stickers for the Grom that's starting to go sport fishing off the pier and pounding the rocks along Shelter Islands. And I got, you know, the baits from Western Plastics and other companies and give them some baits and stickers and a bottle of uni butter. And, you know, these are things that we can talk to these kids about and bring them up through the ranks and back to the Dockside Market. They go down there and they talk to these fishermen. They can actually get a piece of fish and enjoy it and take it home. And then maybe they'll want to try another piece of fish or a different species and stuff like that.
All right. Otto, I didn't get that message. Were you telling us? I'm sorry. What was that again? Okay. Hey, Tommy, thanks a lot. Hey, as advertised, you want to go out and get the freshest seafood? Yeah, you can get it from Tommy, or you can get it with our next guest, Captain Chuck Taft from Sea Adventure Sports Fishing. Captain Chuck, how you doing, sir?
I just got phone service. I was a minute late getting in. Took too long to get the wild fish today.
That's right. You know Tommy Gomes, he's never at a loss for words, so he was more than willing to step in, up for you. But, Chuck, you got to tell us, what's the latest? What's happening out there?
Well, I don't know. Another day in paradise. Weather came down. It was beautiful. We had 72 tuna, 150 skipjack today, and 3 yellowtail. Other than that, it was a slow day.
Nice.
Oh, man. Well, the good thing is having the weather come on down, because when that happens, I'm going to make the assumption right now that more fishermen come on out and more fish are being caught.
Well, yes, that's for damn sure. Nobody likes to go out and get beat up, but, you know, sometimes you got a tough hand, you got to play whatever Mother Nature deals you. But there's still an awful lot of fish around. It's amazing that we have lack of participation, really, as good as fishing is.
Oh, you know what? But isn't it something that happens this time every year that we start running out of fishermen before we start running out of fish?
Yeah, this year it seems like there's less people now than normal. I don't understand why fishing's really good right now, but it's hard to say. But, man, it's time to go fishing. Then lobster season starts in 4 days, so hoop nets are starting up. It's good times to be on the water.
Well, not only that, you know, with the close of the Shelter Island launch ramp and not having great accessibility to Point Loma and those areas just immediate offshore, going out with Sea Adventure Sports Fishing, and I don't know, are you going to be using the jig strike again this year for lobster hooping, or just exactly what's that program going to be, Chuck?
Yeah, we will be doing the jig strike for HoopNet, and that starts on Saturday night. So kind of looking forward to that, getting all the gear rigged up and primed up for that. So that's looking good. You know, like I told you earlier today, the fishing was just very, very good today. Wendy just got off a trip that they just had a phenomenal time. 2 days limits of tuna and skipjack and some Dorado and stuff. So she was on the lake for a 2-day trip and they had a wonderful time. It's just good times right now.
Yeah, Wendy's trying to call in right now to tell you a little bit about that trip, and hopefully we can get a hold of her in time. But, you know, this is a great time to be sports fishing out of our San Diego fleet because, as you're saying, the crowds are going down. So instead of, you know, going out with pack loads, which I know you like to see, now you're going out with really manageable loads, and the people that go out with you can really share a quality experience.
Oh, yeah. It's a good time right now. And I couldn't tell you, we couldn't be any happier with the new boat. The Excalibur met all expectations and then some. It came out absolutely fantastic. Great platform to fish off of. They're on a 2.5 day, and they're down about 130 miles and had one kill for limits today. So,
Wow.
I said, good times right now.
Well, tell us,
really,
Chuck, how are you breaking
right
up the duties between the Excalibur, the Legend, and the Jig Strike?
Well, Pat runs the Jig Strike. I got Joel Ralston now that's on the Excalibur, and I'm on the Legend. I actually took one trip off. I've had 2 days off because we had to put a new sonar in the Jig Strike, a brand new, the most modern one I could get. And so I took off the trip that Wendy was on, and Pat ran the boat. And I had a great time on that trip.
Well, speaking of Wendy, we happen to have her on the line right now. Wendy, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. And I missed Chuck on our trip, but we had a really good time, and Patrick did an amazing job, and so did the rest of his crew.
Well, we like hearing that, that's for sure.
Hey, Wendy, how was the fishing? Because we know the weather's been up and down, and you don't want to wait for the dock totals. You want to go out fishing when you can go fishing. But how was your experience going on out there?
You know, there were a couple of guys that were sick, but the fish don't care. They were still biting. We had 170 fish on the first day, and the second day total was 270 yellowfin for 2 days. So can't complain. We had some nice, great fish. They were in the 20 to 30-pound class, and they were biting. They were hungry.
You know, Chuck, now that the way that the sports boats, especially the Legend and Excalibur, are actually handling the fish, I don't remember a time that I've seen as many skipjack in the counts. And I think a lot of that is because the people used to look at skipjack like Bonita and Barracuda, that by the time they got it home, it wasn't exactly the table fare you'd want to see. But with what you guys are doing now to help preserve the condition of that fish, skipjack is an excellent eating fish.
It is really good eating, and people don't realize that 50% of the fish that's putting Starkist cans and everything else is skipjack tuna. It's just the way it's handled and processed and taken care of. And you hit the nail on the head right now. I mean, our fish are all dropped 10, 15 minutes after they're caught in the nicest, best conditions you could ask for the fish with the RSWs that we have and spray brines that people have on the boats now. And that fish comes out firm, hard, and it is class to eat. But like you said in the past, people have got a bad for it because of what other people have said. You can serve it on the boat here, and people wouldn't even believe that that's what they were eating.
Wow.
You know,
Wendy, we just have a couple of minutes left before we got to go. Is there anything that you want to tell Chuck before it's time to pull the plug here?
You know, a lot of people don't realize, and they just throw back those skipjack, but those are really good to make pokey, to smoke, and to eat as sashimi. So, you know, keep them, you guys. They're awesome. And Chuck, great operation, and I really appreciate it, and we had a great trip.
Well, I'm glad to have you guys there. I can't wait to get all you guys on the new boat.
Oh, man, we'd love to do it, Chuck. And that hospitality of yours doesn't happen by accident, because I know with the way the bite has been, the boats have been running ragged, trying to keep good crew, trying to keep good chefs, you know, trying to rotate the skippers to go out and do it. It's a monumental task, but you guys have been up to it, and we're getting nothing but reports on just a quality time that the fishermen have going out with you. Thanks a lot for the effort.
Well, thank you for all the fishermen. I mean, we wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for the fishermen.
All
so
right.
Forget to realize that.
Chuck, if people want to check out what the schedules are for the Legend, Excalibur, and the Jig Strike, how's the best way to go about doing that?
Well, they can go to Sea Adventure 80 Sport Fishing and click on it and get our information. They go to H&M Landing's website and click on either boat to get their specific calendar for it. So, you know, it's easy to get a hold of it. And I'll tell you what, we already got guys booking up for next year. I'm amazed how many people are already booking days for next year.
Oh,
and
man.
Don't forget, we have
you might not have to go to the Fred Hall show next year. You might be all booked before that. That'd be great.
Hey, don't forget,
oh,
we have lobster season coming up.
Okay, Wendy, what was that real quick?
Don't forget, we have lobster season coming up, and the Alicia goes out there and goes after lobster.
Well, we talked a little bit about that, Wendy, before we were able to get you on, and that's a great way to go. If you're not familiar with recreational hooping, you don't have the equipment, you can go on out there with Captain Chuck or Pat or any of the crew there. They'll set the traps for you. They've got the bait. While you're soaking those traps, you can have yourself a great boat burger. You can maybe have a little adult beverage, pull your traps up, get something great for dinner, and do that for a night. It's the best bargain in town for sure, Chuck.
That is a real bargain.
All right.
Thank you, every one of you, very much, and good fishing to everybody. I know you got to get off the radio. Come see us on the Legend and the Excalibur and the Jig Strike.
All right. Thank you, Captain Chuck. And, Wendy, thank you very much for calling in and sharing your adventures with Captain Chuck and the people at Sea Adventure Sports Fishing.
Well, thanks for letting me have half the night off.
Okay. Hey, and Tommy, I want to thank you for coming aboard. People want to come in and visit with you. Where are you located? They want to see you online. How's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, CatalinaOP.com. We're down at 5202 Lovelock Street. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, all social media aspects. Look for Cooking with Tommy Gomes on YouTube. There's a bunch of great videos in there with our local chefs and TV stars and all that stuff. So it's kind of cool.
That's kind of cool, too. And you used to take Mondays off. What the hell happened to that?
No, Mondays now we have tacos at Las Cuatro's Milpas, and the best steak deal in town is at Fiddler's Green on Shelter Island. He's got a great deal going, so we all meet up there, too.
All right. Hey, everyone, that's it for tonight. On behalf of Otto and the AM 540 Studios, Ben Harvey, our local producer here in San Diego, always in memory of Big Tuna Bill and Eddie McCune, and also Mr. Paul Leader that helped keep this show on air for a long time. We want to thank you for listening tonight. Tune in next Sunday night starting at 5:05 p.m. for some of the best and most fun time you can have on the radio. So till then, good night, everyone. We're out for now.